Amen and amen. You guys can have a seat. Well, I'm blessed to have my brother Terry up here to share with us. When I, the Lord spoke to me about coming up to Susanville, my wife and I came up knowing just a few people, actually one guy on the phone, and that was it. And one of the first people that I got kind of hooked up with was Terry and his wife Susan. And they've been a blessing and encouragement. They've challenged us in some ways and just blessed us in every way. And so I'm really blessed to have my brother up here to share. Come on up, bro.
Well, good morning, everybody. Glad you decided to be here. You know, I'm the pastor of Calvary Chapel over in Westwood. Jose is our worship leader, and I just praise God that he came this morning. You know, he leads us into the presence of the Lord every week. You know, but as a pastor, I often ponder things. And, you know, I saw Jared here this morning, and I first met him years ago when the Highway Patrol put on every 15 minutes program over in Westwood. And even back then, when I first met him, I just said to myself, that's a goody two-shoes. You know, it just, but you know, I was thinking, I was sharing with him earlier, we were having a meeting at the high school one time, and I drove up, and one of the highway patrol, and I can't remember which one said, as the meeting started, they were just commenting, Terry wasn't wearing his seatbelt. And, you know, they didn't, anything derogatory, it was just a statement of fact. And I was sharing with them, that stuck with me ever since. Every time I get in the car, it's like I put on my seatbelt and I hear this voice, you know, Terry. And it's, when we walk with Christ, we have the gospel of salvation. We're called to be God's ambassadors for Christ. That's who we are. In Revelation, it says that we're made kings and priests by His shed blood. Not will be made, but made. And, you know, just before I get started, I thought I'd just share that with you. That a word of encouragement to people, a word of fact that Jesus loves them, might change their life. You know, I'm still wearing my seatbelt, so. Anyway, I was reading on your website the other day, and it says, on the third Saturday of the month, we hope to gather for our For Men Only breakfast at the church facility. We'll have breakfast together, hear a testimony from one of our brothers, worship together, and have a time of devotion with the intent of strengthening us as men of God. You know, if you look at the early church, in Acts 2:42 it said, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. And that's what you're doing. You're strengthening each other as you meet, as you fellowship. And if you think about it, you know, Jared's in the highway patrol, Mike was a police officer, and any of you that served in the armed forces, when you went into battle, you counted on your brother. You know, the highway patrol have a very strong bond. Policemen have a very strong bond. As brothers in Christ, we're in a spiritual battle. So strengthen each other, pray for each other, love each other, encourage one another. And as men, we do need to be strengthened. We do need to grow in our relationship with Christ. And, you know, think about it. Why are you here this morning? You could be out golfing, you could be out fishing, sleeping in, mowing the lawn. You know, I don't know why anyone in their right mind would want to mow a lawn, but, you know, a lot of people do on Saturday. There's any number of things you could be doing, yet you're here. And this begs the question, why? If you turn with me to Acts chapter 17, we'll look at what Paul has to say, and he's addressing the Areopagus, where in Athens the philosophers gathered to listen to new ideas and talk. And Paul brings out something in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, that many people don't seriously think about. And we read, "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him. Though He is not far from each one of us, in Him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we also are His offspring." that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope and find him. Now, grope here is, in the Greek, is seilepheo. And the concept that Paul is trying to get across is to feel, to touch, to reach out, to find. Grope for him, find him. Now, if you look at the progression that God has set up there, how he has orchestrated things for us that we might find him, seek him, grope for him, and find him. And with that thought, let's open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we join together as men, gathered in the name of Jesus, who is also a man, who is tempted by all the things that we've been tempted by, and he never gave in. We praise you for that, that we can look at a man who is fully man, but also fully God, who when they crucified him, looked to you, dear Heavenly Father, and said, please forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is the kind of man, this is the kind of Savior, this is the Lord that each one of us can follow, who is worthy of our praise, of our adoration, of our allegiance, who loved us while we were still sinners. And whether we lived a life like Jared, or we were one of the most despicable, horrific, sinful men on the face of the earth, it's all the same without Jesus. An eternity separated from you. But with our sins forgiven, we're raised up in righteousness and holiness. It is through your love that this occurs, through your Son Jesus. And we praise you and thank you for that. And we would ask your Holy Spirit to help us seek him even more as we go through all the days of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now back to the question, why are you here? Why am I here? You know, I would propose that we are all still seeking God. You know, one of the biggest mistakes a person can make is accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior, being born again, receiving the free gift of salvation, and thinking that's it. That's the end of the equation. Actually, that's just the beginning of a life of a walk with Christ. Constantly, and I'm convinced this is going to go through eternity, seeking God simply because he's God and we're not. You know, I know that for a fact. You know, you don't even have to call my wife and ask, is Terry God? As soon as she quits laughing after about 5 minutes, she'll say, no, he's not. He's not even close. So we're going constantly seek after him. And think this through. Ever notice that whatever we do, we want to strive? Something inside of us strives us to do even better. If you make furniture, for example, you want to improve on it. I have a dear friend that made a coffee table for me when I did his wedding. And it's beautiful. But he makes furniture and he's constantly improving. If you fix a nice dinner for someone, while you're eating it, you'll be thinking, how could have I made that better? Maybe the meat's a little bit too tough, or you know, the vegetables are overcooked. And you're striving to improve. If you've ever competed in a race, you're satisfied with your time for about, 10 minutes. And then in the back of your mind, you're going, I could have pushed a little bit harder. I could have driven just a little bit longer. If you golf, your mind is constantly going, gosh, that was a terrible shot. You know, how'd I miss that putt? You know, you're always striving to do a little bit better. And with God, no matter how much we know him, we want to know him better. We're striving to seek after him constantly. And again, I'm convinced that this process, seeking after God, will continue through eternity. Jesus himself says in Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. And in Matthew 6:33, we read, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. So we see that in Acts, in this section, Paul makes the argument that God has orchestrated everything that we should seek God. And also Jesus himself, while he was on earth, says that if we do seek him, we will find him. And that if we do seek after His kingdom and His righteousness, all things will be added unto us. Everything that we need in our life, not everything that we might want, but actually everything that we need. And this morning, we're just going to briefly look at three concepts or attitudes of those who seek God. Number one, you have to be 100% committed. You can't seek after God successfully, you know, if you're just half-heartedly doing it. You know, it's you think about someone jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. Once they step off, they're 100% committed to landing on whatever lies below, a passing boat, the water, but they're committed. There's no turning back. It's the same with if we decide as men to follow Jesus, there's no turning back. We've closed that door. We're going through, you know, the rest of our lives. Second point, you need to grasp, if you're going to seek after Jesus, that there are promises for those who seek Him. Very plain and simple. There are promises all the way through the Bible. And that's why I encourage people, read your Bible for yourself. Find out what's in there for you. And finally, you need to understand that you will be broken. Those are just three concepts. You know, there's hundreds of others that you'll find out about yourself as you walk with Christ. An attitude that you have to have as God cuts away and takes away and shapes you into the image of Jesus. You know, personally, I know I'm not there yet, but I look how far I've come and how far I have to go, and it's encouraging because God's faithful. But anyway, from the very beginning in the Bible, we see that an attitude of 100% focus is important. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, we read, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul." Moses has given the Israelites this prophecy that they will turn from the living God. And you see this time and time again as they come out of Egypt. You know, they have everything going for them, but, you know, they just get squirrely and turn from God. And they fall into idolatry. They fall into, you know, giving up. They fall into complaining. But every time it brings a change that they will seek the Lord after that. You know, ever notice that we really cry out to the Lord when things go wrong? You know, there's sometimes that I'll go through my day praising the Lord for everything that's going right. But if they go right for too long, I get lazy and, you know, just, yeah, this is the way it should be. And then all of a sudden the roof caves in and I'm back on my knees. And it's like, Lord, please forgive me. Help me stay focused. In Psalms 119, the author writes in verse 2, "Blessed are those who keep testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart." When we go after God with all that we are, we're blessed. Ever notice that? In a way of blessing that the world really can't understand. They really can't grasp. They seek after everything else. You know, I was listening to Jared's testimony, and, you know, when I was down at Warehouse Christian Ministries in Sacramento, I was the head of the men's Bible study group. And every year I tell the guys in the group, you know, on the opening night, you know, who I was, and I share with them, you know, if you need help, you know, if you struggle with alcohol, I can help you. If you struggle with pornography, I can help you. If you struggle with violence or fighting, I can help you. But if you need help with drugs, I don't know. I can't because I've never been involved in drugs, but I know a lot of guys that have. You know, that will pray with you, that will hold your hand. When we go after God with all that we are, we're blessed indeed. We don't have to seek after those other things. We can focus on Him 100%, and He fills the need, the hole in our heart. And if you think about it, it's a constant battle, day in and day out. I still struggle. I'm an alcoholic. You know, it's a the one time of the year that I really struggle is during the football season when they have the beer commercials. You know, because to this day, I can taste a nice cold beer watching football. And as we focus on Christ 100%, the enemy will throw up things in our face and we can try to be obedient. And I say try because as we mature in our faith, the battles become bigger and bigger and bigger. We actually become doers of the word, not just hearers. And in Psalm 63, David expresses in verse 1, the heart of those who truly seek after God. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. You know, and again, you look at the progression here. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh hopes for you. You know, I remember when I fell in love with Susan. My wife will have been married 30 years this coming May. And again, I was in a fraternity at Sac State. My roommate, who's still a real close friend of mine, I went home and I told him, I found the girl that I've fallen in love with and I'm going to marry. He looked at me and he just started laughing. He thought it was the funniest joke in the world. And she was, now get this, she was a journalism major with a women's studies minor, extremely liberal, probably left of Obama. I'm very conservative. I was to the right of Genghis Khan. So you have these two people. All her friends hated me, not just disliked me. They thought I was a scum of the earth, you know. Here I am, a frat boy, water polo player, an athlete, you know, very conservative. All her friends are liberal. And I chased after her. There was not another woman on the face of the earth. You know, I went after her wholeheartedly. And she really didn't understand it. And, you know, 2 years later, we ended up getting married. And that's how we should be with Jesus. You know, from the moment we wake up, we should be focused on Him. He's our King. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. What does He have for us today? Are we about what we desire to do or what our King desires? Secondly, if we're going to seek after God, truly seek after Him, we've got to realize that there are promises for us in the Bible. You know, a lot of people get this idea that God is this horrific judge that's just going to hammer him. God is very loving. You know, and it's interesting to note, when the Bible wants to point out the actual love of God, how does the Bible do it? They point right to the cross. Every time. This is the demonstration of God's love for us. In Proverbs 8, we read of a promise from God Himself. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Now, the author here is writing actually about going after wisdom, and wisdom is best explained as the application of knowledge. You know, a good example would be if you know how to use a hammer, that's knowledge. Wisdom is not hitting your thumb. You know, very simply. You know, so Proverbs 8, those who love me, I love, and those who seek me diligently will find me. A wise person puts away everything else, anything that is not of God, and focuses on God. And again, we see that it's diligence in those who seek, who find. In Isaiah 45:19, we read of the Lord saying, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. And you'll notice that God doesn't do things in secret. He's given us His entire word from Genesis to Malachi, from Matthew to Revelation to read. It's right there for us. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us to guide us through it. We actually have the mind of Christ. And if you think about any discipline that you know or have learned in your life, again, whether it's using a hammer, knowing how to drive, use a firearm, throw a football, you start out at a very elementary stage and you progress by practice. It's the same with studying God's Word. And there's promises every step of the way. And we do not seek in vain, but will be rewarded as we seek after God. In fact, in Hebrews it says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is. And actually, before a person can even come to God, they must believe that He exists. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, it's not the fact that God rewards us. He loves doing that. But we must believe that he has our best interests in his heart, which he does. And finally, real quick, those that seek the Lord have to have an attitude of being broken. You've got to love being broken. You know, you may not like the process you go through in it, but if you're going to walk with Christ, you will be broken and broken and broken again. In 2 Chronicles, we read, If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, you know, be broken, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You know, one of the truths I've learned about walking with the Lord through the years is simply this. If you want to be used by the Lord, you will be broken. You might as well get used to it. And at any point, you can cut and run and just say, I quit. I don't want any more of this. And he's gracious. He'll let you go. But you'll miss out. His work will be done, but we will be the less for it. We will be the losers because, just like mountain climbing, the ones that get to the top, ones that finish the climb, are the ones that get to see the view. You know, I was thinking about this last Wednesday. You know, I love flying and I hate flying. My dad worked for Trans World Airlines, and I started flying when I was 6 years old, you know, back in the early 60s. And back then, you wore a suit and tie, and it was very formal, very nice, very elegant. Now it's basically no different than herding cattle or putting sheep through a gate. And, you know, here I am, a pastor, and I'm supposed to be, you know, always together, righteous and holy and patient and loving. And, you know, the flights get delayed, and we get to the airport this last week, and there must be 200 people in line to check the bags. And right behind my wife, Susan, is this guy talking on a Bluetooth, and he's just talking, you know, real loud. And, you know, everybody within 20, 30 feet are just kind of annoyed. I'm really annoyed because he's right behind me. And it's all I can do to keep from just reaching up there, grabbing it, throwing it on the ground, and then, you know, laying him out, you know, and it's like, Lord. So we finally get through that, and we're going to the gate. The flight's leaving in an hour, and I offer to graciously get my wife a cup of coffee, so I go over and order two lattes, and I'm just standing there minding my... And I, you know, this is in Las Vegas, flying back, and all of a sudden, two women walk in, and they're about 20, and you know, it doesn't surprise me the way women dress today that you have 17 girls pregnant in high school. And I, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, Lord, get those thoughts out of my mind. Susan walks up and she notices them, and, you know, she's shocked and she just goes, you know, and it's like, oh gosh. Then we get to the gate. And they announce our flight's going to be delayed. And they start jerking us around. And I've flown all my life, and I know they're not giving us a straight answer. And I go to different booths and try to find out. Finally, this one guy's talking on his cell phone, and I'm standing next to him. And he's talking to Southwest at Dallas, and they route him back to the terminal. And he's talking to someone in the know, and they're going, well, the plane should be at the gate. And he goes, no, we're standing right here at the gate and there's no plane. The guy goes, let me check. And come to find out, the plane had landed at 4:30, but they're doing repairs on it. They hadn't bothered telling us. And I'm just, oh, by now I'm just furious, you know. And I'm standing in front of the gate, and they can tell I'm mad. You know, everyone else is just kind of do-do-do-do-do. And I go over to Susan, you know, and I'm going, you know, it looks like we might be sleeping on the floor tonight. Now, she starts getting angry because she's beginning to see the seriousness of this. And I go, well, now you understand why I'm concerned. Anyway, we get on the flight and get back home at 1 o'clock in the morning. But it's As we walk with Christ, we will be broken. He will take us to positions where we're forced to examine who we are. Do we really have it together? As Jared was sharing about Norman the pig. It was Norman, right? You know, the pig, about how he looked down on other people and didn't realize it. God takes us to a place where he goes, Terry, you still deal with anger issues. Without me, you'd be escorted out of here in handcuffs because you would have beaten that guy to a pulp. When I was in college, I had no problem punching someone out and just looking at them. You know, the two girls at the coffee shop, if I wouldn't have been married, or probably even if I was married without Christ, I probably would have been hitting on them. At the gate, I was so angry without Christ, I know I would have punched someone out. And God takes us to these places where he shows us. And with each one of us, it might be something different. Whether it's pride, lust, anger, frustration. The point where we're ready to give up. And he shows us who we truly are. And he breaks us. And he just cuts away everything. Taking apart the facade. Saying, you're not who you think you are. You're worse than that, but I love you. I'm there for you, and I'm never going to let go of you. If a person walks or even tries to walk with Christ, they will be humbled. Or we can humble ourselves and just say, Lord, you're right. Please forgive me. Please help me. And as we walk with Jesus, we will see that we will never be able to keep his commandments, even though he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Because they're perfect, just as he's perfect. And when we grasp that, we can just go to him and just say, Lord, here I am. I love you because you love me. And if you'll notice a progression here, humbleness is just realizing who we are, a true analysis of ourselves, and praying, just talking and listening to God, starting our day off with him, and seeking, going after God with all that we are. And finally, repenting, turning from our wicked ways and turning towards God. A lot of people have the concept that repentance is turning away from sinful ways, but they don't realize the other part of the equation is turning towards Christ and letting him fill our lives. As men, we often make things more complicated than we have to. Ever notice that? You know, keep things simple. You know, wherever we are, as we go through our lives, whether a pastor, a young man just starting out in life, a worship leader, we need to seek after God all the days of our life. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this special morning. I thank you for Mike letting me share. I ask that you bless each one of us, that we would examine our hearts and that we would seek after Jesus even more. I join with Jared lifting up Christian Schwegel, a dear friend of ours, and her husband, Lord, that you would bless them, that they would seek after you. And each one of us knows someone that needs Jesus in their life. Let us just share the love that you shared with us. In our Lord and Savior's name, I pray. Amen. God bless you guys.
Oh, that was awesome. You know, when Terry started to say, you know, I read on the, you started to quote the website. Oh man, another typo. But and actually, as he was kind of quoting, I go, wow, that sounds pretty cool. You know, strengthen men in their relationship with the Lord, to walk with the Lord, you know, and to be strong in the Lord. And that's the purpose of getting together. That's the purpose of our men's ministry here. And it's not a gigantic men's ministry, but you know what? I learned in construction that one guy can do one guy's work, two guys can do three guys' work, and you get four guys and five guys, and you can do a lot more together than you can apart. And part of our men's ministry, just to encourage you guys, is we get together on Wednesday mornings and on Friday mornings, and we pray. We get together at 6 o'clock a.m. We've got a list of everybody that we know of in our fellowship, and people bring their own needs and other people that are, you know, other things that are going on. And we pray over them name by name. And we're seeking the Lord. And so, and it's also really a great way for accountability. It's a great way to, you know, because you walk in and you can tell how guys are doing, you know. I also want to encourage you guys to be in the Word every day. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we've got these Bible reading lists in the back and out on the counter out there. And I'm just about through the Bible one more time. I got just a couple more books to go, and I can start over again. It never ends. You just keep going and going and going. But for me, this is a good accountability tool. You know, I study for Sunday services. I study for Wednesday services, and I love it. To me, it's like, shoot me, you know. This is great. But you know what? I need to be in my devotions as much as anybody does. And I need to be in God's Word reading every day. And so this is my accountability tool. When I can see that I haven't been, you know, progressing in that, for me it's, you know, because I get like, you know, I get task-oriented. I want to do all the other things. But anyway, I encourage you guys to grab one of those and check it out. And if it'll help you, great. You know, and if any of you guys need any prayer or want to pray about something, maybe not in the big group or whatever, we're here for that as well. You know, if you've got an issue you're dealing with or something, don't go through it alone. I'm blown away by, I was just thinking, you know, years ago, before I went into law enforcement, and my wife went to my dad, and she had some real concerns. And it was interesting to me that as I thought about it last night, I was laying in bed, that my life changed because somebody went to somebody. And my wife got counsel from my dad, which, and then she came back and talked to me and goes, yeah, you know, here's what we're going to do. Here's what I wanted. Here's what I let you do. It's changed since then. But don't go through stuff alone. If you need prayer, you know, come and talk to myself or Tara, any of us. I mean, there's nothing special about being a pastor. We pray with each other. That's the strength, you know. But Jesus said if two or more would agree on one thing, that he would do it. And so the next event is July 19th. And so I hope to see you guys there. And let's pray. Father God, we just praise you. We thank you, Lord, that no matter where we are, no matter who we are, your eyes are on us, Lord, and you love us. And you have a plan for each of our lives, Lord, to bring us to an expected end. And we thank you, Father, that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you're such a gracious God and a loving God. And you're strong and you're powerful and you're righteous and you're holy and you're true. Lord, we can go on and on about what an awesome God you are. And Lord, we thank you that you reach down and you touch our lives, Lord, and you change us and you make us more like you every day. Father, we want to yield ourselves to you. We want to let you have your way in us so that we can serve you better and please you more. And Father God, we just commit our ways to you afresh. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. And you know what? Take a couple dozen pancakes home with you or something. You know, hey, baby, I brought you breakfast. You know, but thanks for being here. We'll have the devotion and the testimony on our website probably later today. And so, you know, if you know someone that missed it or you want to listen to it again, you know, then it's there for you guys. Stan is on there from last month for those of you that missed that, and the teaching from last month as well. So we're trying to keep it up to date.